Okay, this is board time, Wednesday, July 23rd, 2:30 p.m.
Okay, commissioners, hopefully you both have your packets.
Yes, sir.
Haven't read the minutes.
I have.
Yeah, we have two weeks of minutes.
I do have a question on the July 9 minutes. It says in this page 3 of 4, the third paragraph from the bottom.
Which were for July 9th?
Yeah. Is we talked about the City of Vancouver or City of Oshugal event, but I thought we had, all it says we talked about it. I thought we gave them some kind of a green light.
Yes, we did give them a green light.
Okay, well, that's not reflected in the minutes. We should say so.
I don't have that one.
Here it is. Can you remember what was decided?
Yeah, you gave a green light subject to law enforcement.
Okay. Then
yeah, we wanted to make sure that the City of Washougal law enforcement was going to patrol adequately.
Okay.
And
but why don't we do this? Why don't I make a motion to approve them, and then I'll make a motion to make that amendment, and then you can do the thing and approve it, okay?
Okay.
So I move that we approve the minutes for July 9 and July 16.
I second that.
Okay. And I move that we update third paragraph on page 3 of July 9 to reflect the action.
And the board approved the request for exception.
I second it.
Okay. And you can use your discretion as how to reflect that. Okay.
No, it's been moved and seconded.
On the amendment?
And amended.
No, on the amendment. We need to vote on the amendment. So, all in favor of the amendment? Aye.
You're driving a Model T here, aren't you?
Chris will tell you.
Okay.
You've got to do one motion at a time.
The amendment passes.
Okay. And, Mr. Chairman, all in favor of the amended minutes?
Then we'll pass it as amended. All those in favor?
Second. Aye. And aye. Yep. Great.
Okay.
Okay.
Unanimous.
All right, we're good.
Okay, and the subject that we near and dear to our hearts is the historic promotion grant / museum, and Axel's got some new information for you.
Yeah, not really new, but it's kind of a change in philosophy that I've had after talking with Bob. And so if you recall the discussion last week, I was asking you to make a decision on kind of go, no-go with the program for 2015, and what I base that on is the program is funded through a $1 document recording fee, and statutorily that's got very specific language that says what those dollars need to be spent on. And so the way we've always accounted for that for auditing practices is Sandra Hall in the auditor's office tracks that revenue, and then she reports it. And then that kind of generates, you know, this accounting box where we know what our revenues are and what we have available to spend on grants, and then the $50,000 for the museum. And we kind of, that's how we manage our program. Now, in talking to Bob after we got into the kind of heavy discussion last week about, well, what, you know, where is the revenue? Let's get a new projection. And, you know, we don't want to just leave some of these smaller grantees out hanging. Can we look at it again? Well, what Bob said is, well, look, you're correct that revenue comes in, but at the end of the day, it flows into the general fund. The historic promotion grant program, the museum, the $50,000 for that, that's all backed by the general fund. And so what he says is, based off those revenue projections, we just give you a baseline line item budget that the board adopts, and that's your authority for spending. So this is a long-winded way for me to tell you that the kind of the cash flow issue that I thought we had with revenues coming in and then us handing checks out and having to watch that bottom line, Bob was kind of like, you don't have a cash flow problem. The general fund backs your program. You have authority to spend a certain amount that's approved by the board. So where does that leave us? In 2015, what Bob has put into the budget is $68,000 for grant program and $50,000 for the historic museum, for a total of, you know, let's call it 118 for authority for spending that you've given to come out of the general fund. Now we have $75,000 in reserve revenues in the HPG program, and we anticipate another 175 to come in 2015 for a total of 150. So that's kind of what we have. So without the cash flow issue, you could approve, you know, me to move forward, send out a press release, and we could do a $60,000 program without really any worries of going in the red.
Don't want to do that.
However, if you want to run it like a true cash flow program, then we're kind of back to where I was last week with, you know, follow the revenue. It's your guys' call, I guess, is the point. We can do it. We cannot do it.
The idea behind this is that the revenue that's generated for these programs would pay for those programs. And although the general fund is available to back up everything, the idea is not to draw from the general fund just simply because it's there. So if these, the path forward on this would be to only pay out what has come in that's designated for those programs. So it's a conditional expenditure. If the funds are there, provided for that purpose from those sources, then absolutely they can be used for that. If they're not there, then we wouldn't draw from the backup.
Yeah, and so if the board's position is that you don't want me to move forward with a program that may run into that cash flow issue I mentioned, occasionally bouncing off of the general fund and then coming back up as revenues come in, then I would go with my original recommendation, which is either we do a very small program next year, somewhere around $25,000 to $35,000, or we hold the program, let it accrue, and then the following year execute a program that would spend down that reserve and basically allocate funds that we know we have, revenues we know we have. Or like I said, the other option is we know that we're going to have $150,000 to spend between now and the end of 2015, move forward with the budget authority that's $60,000 for the grant program, $50,000 for historic museum. But then that's going to force your hand to make a decision at the end of 2015 to say, do we continue to fund the museum and the program as we have with general fund dollars, or do we not?
Sure. And I think that decision then would be appropriate to decide then. Being financially conservative for any funds that we're going to spend that are designed to be sourced by revenue, the only responsible path forward, as I see it, would be to ensure we only spend what comes in for that, and not just to put a blanket out there. So I thought that where we had it last time is that there was only one question, and you were going to go back to the advisory board to see what recommendation, and it was only a question of yes or no.
Hold it over or to have a small program.
And this sounds like this is more than that.
Yeah, well, I dug up some more stuff because Commissioner Mielke had some questions at the, and you had missed the last one, I think. I did communicate with everyone, all the advisory board members but one, and I explained the situation, and I tried to do it very unbiasedly and just say, here's where the revenue is. Do you want to do a small program or do you want to hold it over? And they all said to hold it over.
Okay, so that's the only decision we needed today is to hold it over, right?
To hold it over or to have a program. I brought that other information because I had been communicating throughout the week with Commissioner Mielke about where the revenues and the numbers were, and I had that conversation.
So that's information, but we don't need a decision on it. So sounds like it's pretty straightforward then for us to be able to just simply respect what the advisory board recommends, through informally anyway, which would be to hold it over, let it build up, right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Well, what you need to understand, if you hold it over, they're not really holding it over.
Well, they're letting it build up.
You're still paying for the museum out of the fund, so you're not holding it over.
But that's not the grant program, though. We're only talking about the grant piece.
That is part of it.
No, it isn't. No, sir. The museum has received grants from the grant program over and above the 50 that they get.
But the 50 they get comes from the grant program.
It comes from the same pot of money.
Right.
But it's not a grant.
So we're not.
The grant program funds the museum along with the other grants they apply for.
Yeah.
Same money.
Yeah, the document recording fee funds both.
you can't shut off half of it and leave the other half open. So what I was proposing, what Axel's saying is that we have enough money to do both. So we have, with the reserves that we have, we go ahead and make our quarterly payments to the museum, which is $1,250.
Well, that's $1,250. That's not in question. That's already automatic. That was approved.
Well,
at the last
we have a contract with them that expires.
We have to renew the contract.
That expires at the end of the year. We have to renew that.
But Bob's put that baseline into the budget at $50,000 for 15 and 16. He's also budgeted this program at 68 and 68.
So that tells me if it's in the budget, it's there. On the anticipation we're going to get, we still haven't received it. So
but
we have a program.
Commissioner Madore's concern is that if we're funded for 118 per year in expenses, but the revenue's less than that,
I understand that.
Then he doesn't want the regular general fund to make up the difference.
Mm-hmm. No, I understand that, and I agree. But we have enough to go forward with our plan today as we plan. So. We have money coming in on a regular basis as filing is being done, recording is being done. That's where this money comes from. Even though we have $75,000 in there right now, we're not going to spend it all. Our payment is $12,500 for the museum.
Every quarter.
Right, that's not what it's in question. Can you form the question?
Well, let me tell you that I'm not done. So in the meantime, we still have other people applying for grants. Now, I don't think we should be as generous with giving away those other grants. We should scrutinize them a little bit more and tighten them up.
Exactly.
And one of the ones that I recall, and one of the things that didn't happen last year, the reason we have money this year, was the American Legion did not do their project that we talked about.
Yep.
So therefore, we didn't have to pay for that. But we have other things, such as the Selassie Prairie Railroad, that applies for grants on this also. That's a very important one because that's our asset that we have out there that they maintain as we provide those things. Mm-hmm. So I don't mean to spend ourselves in the debt, but we're balanced okay to go forward under the existing plan that we have. For example, quarterly give the $12,500 for the operation of the museum, and we go ahead and see what applications come in for the other parts of the grant, but do not go into debt. But it's kind of like a safety net, you might say. If by chance we decide to give $20,000 to Selassie Prairie Railroad for rail and ties, but we come up short, we'll have to notify him, I'm sorry, you're only going to get 10. We're not going to spend into debt. We could do that the same way we do with the museum, is make payments to them as they need it or as required or as they make the improvements. But there's no need to shut down the program.
That's not the question. We're not shutting anything down. The question, can you form the question?
Delay.
Yeah.
we're not delaying anything either. We already have commitments that have been made from previous decisions, and those payments are continuing to go out, and that's not the question.
Just for this year.
So right, for this year.
If these are two-year budgets that the board has, okay, so each one of these is 2 years, and our revenue, before the recession, this money was pouring in. We were making, over 2 years, we were making $250,000. So let's say we're up here. And then it kind of came down here, and then it comes back up here, and it comes back up here. So let's say this is $250,000 over 2 years, and this is $150,000 over 2 years. Okay, so the problem is right now where we are is somewhere right here, okay? And so the question is, what kind of a program do you want to maintain? And if we maintain a program that's $100,000, just to use round numbers, for the grants, and then $50,000 for the museum, obviously when we get down here, the general fund's got to cover this. When it comes back up here, we're actually still putting more. So all I'm saying is, over time, there's been times when this account, this recording fee, has put money into the general fund, and there's been times, if you approve it, that we would maintain a program status quo, and the general fund would put money into it. Now, I would add that we are, by law, required to spend every dollar that we receive from this program on program on statutory things like historic preservation or the museum. So while we are allowed to accrue funds and build a fund balance, you know, that's okay as long as we have a plan for how to spend them out. It certainly looks better if we spend more than less, because you could make the argument if you have $1 in the bank that you haven't spent on historic preservation, well, why? You need to spend it on that. That's what it's for. So it's just it's really just a policy decision.
Okay.
You want to support it, keep a program going, or hold it on.
I'd like to be able to divide this into two sections. One is information to us to help us inform, to consider policy changes for the future or policy continuation for the future. And this is certainly not something that we would make a decision on today based on this cursory kind of a quick update. That's not how we make good policy. So I'll assume that whatever information you provide us, that we'll continue. I'll do my research to learn more about this and say, what are we being asked to approve for the future, and to make sure that we're diligent about that. The second part of it is to ensure if there be some question today. I think the only question today that we were asked originally was to either hold and let this one program build up a little bit of balance so we can do something more significant with it, mm-hmm. or not, right?
Right.
Okay. So I'm good, and that's also what the advisory board recommended informally. So I'm good with that. So with that, I'll move that we accept the recommendation to let that build up. And what is that? What do you call it?
Historic preservation.
The historic preservation fund. Build up, and that we will then become more informed about this program. I'm willing to do homework on this.
You weren't here last week, were you?
No.
It came to us last week, and we held it over this week for more information that Axel brought. I was looking at Axel's chart where you have that line underneath. I took that straight line as to be the average balance.
Well, and that straight line would be how Bob budgets it.
Oh, okay.
You know, he budgets it.
We actually have $75,000 in this account today.
At the end of December, we'll have $75,000.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So we don't have that much in it today. Yeah. So the point is that it's one program, and you can't put one on hold to raise up to bring the budget up. You can still give out a lesser amount of money.
But
and I'll use the museum. So you're saying go ahead and fund the museum, but shut everything else down.
Actually, that's not the question, right? Right now, there's nothing that would be shut down. There's nothing that would be discontinued. Everything would go on according to plan of decisions that were and commitments that were already made. What we're talking about here is for a future decision to accept the recommendation to let future build up for a future expenditure, right?
All we're talking about here is we would not open it up for grant applications for 2015. We would wait until 2016 to do that.
Okay. Between now and then, we can do some homework, and I'm not prepared to say to just simply say, sure, open it up and start, assume we're going to spend funds and possibly build some false hope there. Without talking with the budget office and for me to fulfill my responsibility to understand what are we asked to, what door are we opening up here. So in other words, at this point, there's no danger of anything being defunded here this year.
We're in the time frame that we ask for people to fill out grant applications. I think we could still do that. Even if we don't have as much as we had before, and we only have half as much, these people would still be, either you don't give out so many grants, you only give out the number of grants that you have to have a balance, or you give everybody half. But I'm troubled with the fact is, this isn't only for our museum.
Mm-hmm.
The same pot of money. It's not just for the museum.
It's for the Schlatchy Railroad and other good
programs. Yes. So if you can't put half of it on hold or not spend it, but yet you're still spending it for the museum, I think that we're still safe to fund the museum and still
have a small program.
Have a smaller program.
Yeah.
And move forward, but staying in balance without spending. But at least we'll know more. But there's the possibility we might not get any grant applications that would qualify under the scenario of historical preserve.
Okay. In 2013, we received $118,433 in revenue, you know, the dollar per filing fee. This year, we're anticipating about $77,000 in revenue. That's about a $50,000 decrease. But $77,000 still funds the museum with $27,000 left over.
Yes.
So we could
to give out $27,000.
We could give out $27,000 and not hurt ourselves.
Yeah.
So how about this? How about I like your idea, Commissioner Mielke, of solicit the proposals, letting people know that funds are limited, and don't be surprised.
It's pretty tough. It'll get.
Yeah, don't be surprised if your grant isn't approved or if you receive an amount less than you asked for.
Yeah. That way we're not shutting it down. A lot of people.
And then the board gets to choose how to allocate the money when.
The good thing is that we're still going to do some good with that money rather than have it just sit and build.
What I'm recommending here is not to shut it down and not to say no permanently. What I'm saying is, in order for me to be a good steward over this, I'm going to need a couple of weeks to be able to get up to speed and make sure I understand this so we can potentially open up the grant applications with more informed knowledge and also with a more realistic amount that we can convey to the potential applicants as to how much to expect.
Well, I think, what about going forward?
I haven't done my homework. I'm not ready.
Asking for the grant application. We haven't given the money out, but we can still get the application.
I would be willing to do that after I do my homework if it looks like it's reasonable, but I have not done my homework, so I'm not ready to.
You don't want to send a check to the museum?
That's not what's in question. The museum checks will go out for this year. There's nothing threatened here at all. Right?
Yeah, you are. You're threatening the other people who get their grant money from here. The museum is the same grant money. We call it a grant. It's the same record recording fee that we pay things. So we give out grants. One of the grants we give out is the funding of the museum.
And Mark,
and they're good.
Those checks will go out. Right?
They're good to the end of the year.
Yeah,
we're good for $75,000, and we're only going to give them $1,250 right now.
Yeah,
Every three months.
Not what's in question. That'll continue. We're good for all those payments will continue through the end of the year. We're okay.
Yeah, we've already committed to pay the grants. I mean, the grants are listed here: Historical Society, the Chalachi Prairie.
Are those new grants or the old?
No, these are the old ones.
They're already approved.
Yeah. So we're on the hook for those amounts, and we're also on the hook to the museum until the end of the year.
I haven't seen that. I asked Bob for that list.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let me see what you got there.
It's in the back of the thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it might be in.
Maybe Tina made it. Maybe I held on to him. But here's it. That's Sandy's explanation.
Commissioner McGraw, this is the only homework you really need to do. We've got revenues for 2013, revenues for 2014, additional anticipated revenue in 2014. So if you add this plus that, you get $77,000. Compare that to $118,000. Revenues are clearly down. So we can't afford a $118,000 program with only $77,000 in revenue.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we cut the grant program in half or wait and see what applications we get, maybe they'll only ask for $25,000 total and we can fund that with no difficulty.
Mm-hmm.
But rather than slow the thing down, we can still fund some reasonable level of grants and not jeopardize the program.
We're all done with the digitizing.
Yeah, that'll finish with this year's grant.
I heard the project's done.
Yeah, they should be close to done.
Yeah, based on the amounts.
I heard they're done.
Well, they pulled they pulled the check in January, so my assumption is they're done. They'll close it out.
Yep, so it looks like we owe a little bit here, possibly.
The Fort Vancouver Apple Tree Project is a new one for me. I never saw that one before.
What is that? Is that the apple tree by the railroad tracks?
That's just what they named it. It was a. It's actually a voice-over audio thing that wirelessly connects. So you go over to the fort, you get headphones, and you go to the different sites, and someone tells you what all the sites are.
Yeah, I thought that would have come out of the foundation money, the Park Foundation money.
Well, you applied for the grant. We gave it to them.
Mm-hmm. I never saw it.
Yeah, you did.
I didn't solve
it. You had to approve it.
Not this year.
It was last year.
Last year. It was 2013.
So we have clarity. What any decision we make today has nothing to do with the commitments we've already made. All of the checks that have been all authorized, all the funding through the end of the year will continue.
Yes.
And there is no threat. We're not putting anything on hold.
No.
Correct?
Right.
Okay. So we have time between now and the end of the year, or certainly in the next month and a half or so, to do our homework, for me to do my homework, so we can understand that we are going to be good stewards in the future to consider future grant applications. That's what I'm asking for.
Sure.
So the grants that go out, the notice that we give for grants, applications, it's a long process to go through, isn't it? Yeah, you send out notes.
I usually send the press release out 3 weeks ago saying apply by September 26th. So they have about 3 months to apply.
So what are you objecting to having the applications?
I would say it's a ready, shoot, aim as it is. I need to aim.
No.
I don't know enough
about taking care of this year.
This is not regarding this year. This regards the future, next year.
But we have to know what to expect for next year. We only know that by the applications that we get.
And those applications have everything to do with our understanding of what we can do.
They're just applications coming in. We may reject them all. We may accept them all. But it'd be nice to see what those applications are.
Well, applications are a response to an invitation for us to send something out. It's an invitation for them to send applications in. It starts with us, and it starts with a message that says, here's who we send to, and here's how much that may be available in this invitation. So if you're going to have a party, you make sure you plan the party first before you send invitations out. We haven't done that. So I'm not saying no. I'm just saying that there's more homework to do here than looking at this piece of paper for me.
Okay.
I need to do some homework here before I can say
okay.
Yes.
That's okay. But I think we're 3 weeks late sending notice for people to apply.
I think one thing that would be really helpful is just have a 10-minute conversation with Bob, because Bob helped me a lot. I
love talking with Bob.
Yeah, I was
That's
working
part of my
on
homework.
Kind of a cash flow in my brain. But when I talked to Bob, he said, well, look at the budget spreadsheet. We already budgeted $239,000 for the program next year. because they don't want to deal with this up and down.
Yeah.
We know what the average revenue is going to be. We just want to be able to plan a consistent program.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why Bob's already built in the 15-16 budget this number, $239,000.
Potential.
Oh, so when you say that was in the budget, it was in the thick pack of the budget. I probably should have gone through a little bit closer. I will in the future.
Yeah, right. So it's built
That's
in.
Right. But you're supposed, you say with these applications are supposed to come back to us as individual.
They do.
Of grant, this particular grant. Not in the budget.
No.
This grant is supposed to come back to
they
us.
They do, yeah. I give a presentation to you in the fall, and each of the grants and the amounts that the committee recommends are listed on there in the staff report.
So it's not a commitment of any money, just the process to start to see what we have. Is that what I'm saying? We're not spending anything. We're just saying we're going to have money. It might be only $13,000. And from there, rather than just put that $13,000 in my bank account, wouldn't it be nice to give that to someone to do something?
Sure, I'm all for that.
And that won't happen until next year.
Yeah.
And by that time, we will have expected $75,000.
Yeah.
So we just want to see what applications are going to be. We're not going to spend money. We're not going to commit to money. We're just going to see
what happens. And I'm good with the process.
That's part of the
process. After I do my homework. I haven't talked with Bob Stevens about this.
Okay.
And I haven't seen the application to know what
it's... 3 weeks behind doing this.
There's nothing magic about the time of year that we send this out. We could send this out a month and a half from now. We're still fine for next year.
You're going to pile it all up at the end of the year, and then you won't move forward with it.
I think we want to give people at least a month to get their package together.
But
usually what we'll do is sometime to mid late September, I'll collect the applications. I send the packets out to the advisory board members. They take a couple weeks to review them. Mm-hmm. We get together.
Sure, I'm good with all that.
A lot of the organizations only meet once a month.
Yeah.
So
this is not how you make that. This is not how I make policy. I have to do my homework, and it the fact that I am not ready to make a decision to authorize a process that I know not enough about at this point doesn't mean I'm opposed to any of the programs. It means that I'm probably very supportive of the programs, but I haven't done my homework, so I can't release this automatic process to put invitations out there that I don't even know what the invitations are going to say or who they're going to go to or how much it's going to convey or how much we have.
And we won't do that until December, January.
But
we have to have the applicants back to review them.
So there's time between now and then.
That's the only meet once a month.
We just don't want to rush.
You're talking about budget? We're talking about the policy is already there. I understand the budget part. I understand that. But I do have a problem with... Never mind.
Just got to do my homework. Otherwise, I'm not doing my job. I will come back.
Well, you should have been here last week then. Okay, moving on.
Okay. Thank goodness we have something that's simply informational, no decision required. 27 August, there's going to be a ribbon cutting for the Salmon Creek Interchange Project.
Yahoo! 27 of August.
Tyler, do you get one of these?
Yeah.
Jeff Mize has put this together for the benefit of the board. It's a draft that you can see in the watermark on there, and he'll update this as he gets additional information. This is a pretty big deal. It's very important to the mobility of that part of the county, and it was a tremendous partnership between a number of agencies, and we had a lot of people supporting us on this. And mm-hmm. So I think attendance by the board, if it can be the full board, would be great. Commissioner Mielke, it looks like you might have a speaking role. Mm-hmm. If you look down at the bottom, you're third on the list there.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly, if you do have a speaking role, Jeff Mize will give you some proposed remarks that you can edit.
Okay.
Now, in order to facilitate this schedule-wise, we had a work session scheduled for the morning. We bumped that to the afternoon. And then we'll have board time after the work session. And so we need to be back here by 1:30 to facilitate the start of that work session. And it may be that the start time of this ribbon cutting might be pushed up to 10:30.
That'd really be good. Move that up.
Yeah. And so Jeff will confirm all this as he gets additional detail.
Maybe we should bump the board time up to 2 o'clock. Is it 1:30? Anyway, just to make sure we have enough time.
Yeah.
Because in case we have some long-winded politicians in there.
If.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. as we approach this date, we'll certainly make adjustments as necessary to accommodate all of our responsibilities on that day. So, anyway, I'm really looking forward to that thing opening up. My commute's going to be short.
Yeah.
Okay, next, WASAC is preparing for the 2015 legislative session, and there's this thing called the Fiscal Sustainability Initiative,
I'm very familiar with it.
Yeah, and WASAC is asking for
each county to pass a resolution supporting that fiscal sustainability initiative.
And I want to do the exact opposite.
And eight counties have already done that. They did it in 2013. And I know Commissioner Madore attended a meeting where this was discussed, or right. a portion of it, and I know he's got thoughts on the subject. So.
Yes.
Yeah, I think we have some real issue with it, so we probably won't do this.
Well, I would fall on the other side of the fence and say I recommend that we pass a resolution that would be the opposite of this. And to make it clear, what is this? This is the agenda for WASAC, the counties, to lobby the legislature to remove the 1% property tax hike available to that limits the and protects the citizens from ever increasing property taxes. And I was involved with the process where all these priorities were set with WASAC, and this was they conducted the process where everybody got to vote. We had a 100 and some votes that we all did with his electronic clickers. It went really well. That was on one day. And the next day, they threw all that away, and they came up with this agenda to do the opposite of what we had voted on and violated the process and pushed to raise taxes across our states. And I'm thinking that was I felt betrayed.
It was to raise taxes along without a vote of people.
Yes, actually, you can raise taxes now. We can raise taxes mm-hmm. now more than 1% if we go out to the voters and ask permission.
Mm-hmm.
With that, all of these counties have that freedom now. This basically says don't ask the people, raise the property taxes without their consent to remove that 1% limit. And I'm thinking that's exactly the opposite direction that our government ought to be going. We need to obtain the consent of the people before we do things that negatively impact them.
That's the same with Tim Ivins thing, two-thirds vote for tax increases.
Yeah, so in addition to not doing what they're asking us to do, I move that we create a resolution that would lobby to retain the 1% limit on property tax hikes. That would be our position that we would communicate to the legislature as a county.
Yeah.
Is that a second?
Okay.
Yep.
And do we
done.
And do we draft a letter back to WASAC indicating that that's our course of action?
Or just
let it die?
No, I think they need to know where we are.
Okay.
That way they're not surprised.
Yeah, I would think we would do three things with it. One, we would respond to them and say, this is what we intend to do. Two, we would direct our county lobbyists to be able to lobby for that position. And three, we would directly convey to the legislature when they get in when that session comes of our position. We stand with the people.
Commissioner, are you sure it was the 1% property tax? I had never seen that in there. I've seen this fiscal sustainability thing quite a few times in the past.
Why don't
I've
we
never
do this?
Seen the 1% property tax.
Why don't you get a fresh copy of what that is? They should have included that in here because you can't judge a book by its cover.
My recollection that when I was on there, the controversy usually was around there was always a debate about the council-matic or not council-matic optional sales tax. And many of those optional sales taxes required a vote of the people before they went into place, and a lot of the counties would advocate for making it a simple vote of the commissioners to enact those optional sales tax for mental health, law and justice, criminal justice, that kind of stuff. And that was always kind of a debate. I'd never heard the property tax piece before.
I remember Commissioner Madore coming back and saying that they talked about it, and that's what they were supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
Then the next day they came back and came back with a different proposal and didn't finish following through with the process that they were doing. So I would like to get a copy of this initiative.
Yes. Okay. Yes, I would say I was very impressed and very encouraged by the, on the first day, how they got everybody's input on so many different issues and got all that objective. And the assumption was the next day we're going to say, okay, here's all the numbers, fall, and that's our policy.
So
they basically threw it away.
You are the ledge steering committee. Do you want to call Johnson up and Eric and tell him that that we're going to be doing a different resolution and not supporting that?
Sure.
As opposed to a letter, or you want to do both?
Well,
both.
We'll do both.
I think we'll do.
Oh, well,
we'll
do four of those four things.
We're going to do a phone call, so he's not
only three of them are on my list, though.
Yeah, this would be the fourth.
Yeah, that way, when you talk to Eric,
I'm not making a phone call. You are
right for me to make the phone call.
When you talk to Eric, you clarify your understanding of what they did.
Yes, and in other words, we want to make sure we see the current version of what they're calling this.
And then for them to send something down for us, a resolution to sign on to, and not have a copy as initiative.
Yes, right here.
I think.
Yeah, that's a good process.
Okay.
It is the 1% property cap.
It's a number of things. It's REIT. It's local sales tax increments, 1/10 of a percent on this and 1/10 of a percent on that.
Okay.
And
so
then it also discusses
the majority of it usually is local flexibility is how they count it.
That's what it should be.
It says, let us choose what to do. If we choose more taxes, let the voters throw us out.
I don't see the
1%.
But let us
you just had it right there. Removing the 1%
the
limit.
The veterans levy from the one.
Well, there's, okay, why don't we. If you
so that veterans funding can it go.
You're great
up
at finding this on the fly. Send us a link and we'll.
Can I do that by going like that?
You're good. All right, so as we study this, there may be some components in there that are good and those that are not.
So let's study the initiative before we do make any action.
All right, I'm good with that.
Okay.
What else we got?
That's the end of agenda items. So we're on commissioner reports.
I have only one.
Here it is, that one.
Yeah, I have a concern for the safety of some inspectors going into the malt deal, the shipping. It's my understanding that the Washington State Patrol said that they have no more money in their budget to escort the drain inspectors to go in and out of the malt company. I don't know. Oh, did you get a hold of someone from the city?
No, I've reached out to city manager Eric Holmes. I've not heard back.
Okay. It's my understanding that they don't know anything about it, which I find a little hard to believe. But I want to make sure that today the company was shut down for lack of safety for the inspectors to go across the picket line. And I don't want to lose this protocol, which is a multi-billion-dollar industry here in Clark County. So I would like to do a formal request to the sheriff to provide escort to the grain inspectors to go in and out of the malt company over here.
Mm-hmm.
It's my understanding that the malt company said that they will reimburse us for all costs, and would be tickled to death to do that because they could ship nothing out or load anything without that inspector.
Okay.
So I don't want to jeopardize that employment opportunity that we have. Now, maybe we'll learn more as we do this, but we need to let them know right away if they're going to have security to go to and from for those inspectors. So they could open up tomorrow's Friday. I don't know if we do anything today for tomorrow or not, or whether we just start Monday.
Well, tomorrow's Thursday.
Or tomorrow's Thursday.
Yeah, so we'll
maybe
jump.
We can.
We'll jump on it, see what we can get done. But did I hear you earlier say that you'd had a conversation with Joe Dunnigan?
I called Joe Dunnigan.
Did you speak with him?
I spoke with him.
And what was his?
And said, I didn't want to blindside him, but we were going to make a formal request. And we were trying to get a hold of the city to see how come they weren't already all over this. And he said he didn't know, but one time before that there was something like this that they didn't want to get into someone else's jurisdiction, but you know, we have reciprocity and cross jurisdictions with all of our law enforcement. And if they can't afford it, and the state can't afford it, I don't want to be in the middle of some kind of a union fight, but I think it's imperative that we provide safety to the inspectors that go in and out of there.
Yeah, and if, if the Great Western Malting is willing to pay for the support.
Yeah, and in fact, we get it. I could probably get a phone number for them for that to all be verified.
Yeah, I would appreciate a point of contact if you have one.
I will
one.
Do that. I will go get one.
Okay.
And that's all I have.
Okay.
Well, let me convey my thoughts on this, too. The letter that I have here from the Department of Agriculture indicates that the Port of Vancouver has safety concerns for the grain inspectors, and the Department of Agriculture cannot ask their inspectors to go inspect the grain because of the safety concerns. And verbally, I've talked, I had some phone calls on this also, they've indicated that they've asked all the jurisdictions to help to provide security, safety, and that they included Clark County. And that their answers from everybody was no.
What?
I'm not aware of that because it didn't come to our attention. That's not on here. There was a phone call I had earlier today. And so we certainly want to say what are we doing and what are we not doing. What we're not doing is we're not taking a position in this dispute. They can that's independent of this, but we are taking a positive supportive role for the safety of those involved. And if the Department of Agriculture is asking for any local jurisdiction here to step forward and say we will are willing to provide safety for these grain inspectors and also those that need protection are willing to pay for that, then our position would be absolutely encourage our sheriff to provide that and to receive the payment for it so that we don't shut down a port. These are jobs.
Once you lose a port of call, you're likely never going to get it back. Mm-hmm. And that'd be a real shame for Clark County to lose that.
Yes. So not only are we talking about a potential loss.
Citizen safety. You can't turn your back on safety of individuals within Clark County.
Yes.
That's a no-no.
Yes. So not only are we looking at just simply the short-term loss of something being shut down, we risk losing the grain exports from this facility in long term, and that's what happened in Portland. They lost, I don't know if it's millions or hundreds of millions of dollars annual because of these kinds of problems. We don't want that to happen. We want the jobs here. We want to provide safety and security, and I don't believe we have jurisdiction over the sheriff. He's an independent elected. But certainly to the degree that whatever positive message we can convey to our support and encourage him to do whatever he can to be supportive and to provide that, we want to convey that.
Yeah.
This is all based on information that is somewhat incomplete, we assume that if this is the way the picture is, that we would make sure that we provide safety and security, sheriff help if necessary.
Yeah, being shorthanded, they could do it on overtime. You know, I picture taking them in the morning and usher them out in the afternoon when they're done.
Whatever that process would be. And Mark, if you could help to find whatever supportive
documentation information over the wall.
I'll give you a copy of this later, too.
Every day,
it's hard to read.
I venture to say that every day that they are not in operation could be hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Yeah, we don't want to hurt our local economy.
You delay the loading of a ship.
Yeah, and this does not expend taxpayer funds. That those that need protection will pay for this. They've already conveyed that they're more than happy to pay for all the costs of the production.
Absolutely, yeah. Okay.
I'm good.
Yeah, I'll get more info on that. You have anything?
Nope.
Axel, anything else?
Just kind of an update. Commissioner Milky, you had asked me to look up kind of where we were at with the commissioner's salaries last time, and a couple Wednesdays ago. I dug that up, went through it with Tina. So you're correct. There's no salary scheduled for 2015 and beyond for the position three, which would be Commissioner Barnes or former Commissioner Stewart's position. So that does need to happen. Last time we did anything was, I think, September of 2012 was when we adopted the position one and two salary schedules. So I guess if you want, I'll prepare some documentation for
kind of show
early this fall. For that
kind of show some history.
Yeah.
As to how we try to keep them all the same.
Yeah, and there's matrices it, in here. Yeah,
there might be one year that it gets off kilter, but then it catches up. Then it goes one year off the other way just because of the way it's rotated.
It looks like this last matrix went back to 2007. So I can start working on that.
Can you give us each a copy of that?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay.
And then we talked about in the event the charter passes, this would all be moot.
Well, yeah, I'm kind of curious about that because the charter defines the salary of the new commissioners to be $53,000. They basically cut the commissioner's salary in half. And I'm thinking, if that's a good idea, why wouldn't we also cut the administrator's salary in half? I'm not recommending that.
Part-time.
I'm not recommending that. I'm just saying that if you're going to follow that logic through.
And Greg Kimsey's and
yeah,
Scott Weber's.
Why wouldn't
Doug
we
Lashers
do that? It makes more people qualified because more people would be willing to work for the lower salary, right?
Why don't we follow that logic? Qualified, more people would.
What's wrong with that logic?
Actually, I'd like.
What's wrong with the logic?
Yeah.
I'm not touching that.
Yeah. It assumes that this is a part-time position. Is this a part-time position?
You know, I always tell everybody in the legislature it was part-time job with his full-time job was part-time pay, and here's the part-time job with full-time pay. No? Oh, okay.
Well, you sit on about 10 to 12 governing boards in addition to the county.
We work counting Saturdays and Sundays and after 6.
Yeah. Anyway, okay. I love this opportunity to be able to serve, and I want to be able to have other people have that opportunity too and not have to somehow hold I can tell you this. Clark County is going to suffer if we don't have dedicated full-time people who pay attention to and provide leadership and do their homework for this county. This county will suffer if we have part-time counselors.
And careful, you're beginning to advocate.
And you're advocating here.
I'm just advocating for good leadership. That's
okay.
All.
Mark, do you have anything?
No, sir. I think.
Holly.
I do not. Thank you.
Axel, were you done?
I'm done.
All right.
Okay, thank you.
We are done.